Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kamensky, and this morning's conversation is with Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM.
Ralph, let's look into the future a little bit. What trends do you see over the next 3 to 5 years that are going to have a significant impact on CBP?
Well, I think we've discussed it to some degree in that the challenges that CBP is going to be facing with respect to the sheer volume of people coming, moving into and out of the United States, the volume of containerized cargo that is moving in and out of the United States. And I believe that those people, the entities out there that would do us harm, are going to constantly be looking for vulnerabilities within our systems. As you know, they're incredibly patient in looking for those vulnerabilities. And we have got to continue to be vigilant. We've got to continue to develop systems and systems within systems to protect this country. In 1993, they attacked the World Trade Center. They did not succeed. They came back. I don't believe that just because we have not been attacked that we cannot be attacked or that we will not be attacked, because I think there is still a great desire on their part, on their behalf, and they're fixated on the aviation industry, as we've seen in last summer in the UK threat, as it's unknown, when they attempted to blow up airplanes coming to the United States. So I think the challenge is that we cannot become complacent. And we have got to constantly remind ourselves that we are in a long, long battle here, a battle of philosophies. So I think that our responsibility within CBP is to make sure, as I said earlier, that our employees are well-informed, that our employees are well-equipped, and our employees understand the mission of this organization is vital to the safety, security, and the economic well-being of this country. And I think that partnering with trade, partnering with other government entities is going to be necessary if we're truly going to succeed. We cannot get this job done alone. DHS cannot get this job done alone. And I think you have seen Secretary Chertoff and Deputy Secretary Jackson has stressed continuously the need to provide information, share resources, both within the our government and with our partners out there in the state and local who are charged with the same responsibility. So I believe that the challenges are great, and I think that we're going to have to be ready to meet those challenges when it comes to protecting the country. We cannot turn our backs on our traditional responsibilities. We still have tremendous problems with drugs in our society. We've got to continue to battle against drugs getting into the hands of our children who are dying every day here in this country. We cannot turn our backs on the traditional responsibilities of making sure that other bad people don't get into this country that want to do us harm, protecting our agriculture, protecting our infrastructure. So we can't turn our backs on any of these responsibilities, and I think if you ask the Secretary what the Department of Homeland Security is about, it is about protecting the United States against all threats, whether they be natural or whether they be man-made. And so I think that is a huge challenge ahead for us. I would just say that the men and women of CBP, I remind them every day that their job is protecting America. And I also tell them if I feel strongly that if it's a wonderful time to be in the business of protecting borders, but it's also a challenging time. And when they come into work every day, if they think about that responsibility, I don't know how you cannot get excited about that.
One of the things that we asked a lot of our guests that come onto our show is about the pending government employee retirement wave. And you were just talking about how important it is for having the right kind of employees and having them focusing on the mission. How are you planning for or handling this pending retirement wave in CBP, and how do you make sure that you have the right staff mix to meet the challenges that you're facing?
Well, John, that is obviously a problem for not just CBP but for the entire federal government. I have a problem at both ends of that spectrum because of the massive hiring initiative that we are under right now in the Border Patrol. I believe the average time in terms of experience within the Border Patrol right now is somewhere around 2 to 3 years. And as you know, the president has mandated that we double the size of the Border Patrol. And for we have to make sure that as we are bringing on new employees, that we are able to develop the kinds of people within the organization that can pass along the experience and be the mentors to the new developing population there. Because of this, many agencies are vying for the same talents in terms of law enforcement. So we are trying to make sure that our middle managers and individuals who are coming up through the ranks are getting the proper type of training, that is being provided the proper mentorship, so that as these experienced agents, officers, employees leave CBP, that we want to have those individuals who can step into that responsibility. I'd like to create a system where, like sticking your finger in a bucket of water, when you stick it in, it makes a hole, but when you pull it out, it fills right back in. Yeah. And so that's the responsibility, is to make sure we have a system in place where we're providing people opportunities to develop the kind of skills that's going to be necessary for them to move up and take on even greater responsibilities.
To the end of you know, you're the guardian of this nation's borders in CBP, and it plays a critical role in the security and safety of our country. What steps are you taking to attract and maintain a high-quality workforce?
Well, it's obviously something that is paramount in any organization, that the type of people that you recruit really is going to determine the type of organization that you're going to be. Yeah. And so we work very hard to make sure that we are providing the proper training, the proper opportunities. And I believe very, very strongly in that we have to develop a very diverse organization, that we need to recruit and hire and train and promote individuals that represent America. Demographics of this country are changing, and we have to be ready to adapt and change as well. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not talking to our managers about making sure that we are looking to hire and bring on diversity, that we are providing opportunities for a diverse workforce. That is a very big element in our planning as we move forward. And so I can assure you that we just recently had initiatives, recruiting drives out across the country to try to accomplish that very goal.
Well, you've had a very interesting career within public service. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone thinking about a career in public service?
I can't imagine having done anything else in my life, to be honest with you. I've had certainly had an incredible opportunity to serve this country. I think every individual, no matter who they are, should consider at some point in their life doing something in the area of public service. It may not be financially rewarding, but I can assure you it can be personally very rewarding and very gratifying to be able to do something that is going to either serve this country or provide, you know, the safety and security of this country. In my opinion, you know, those individuals who have had this experience, I think it gives them a better understanding of this government and the way this government works. We need good, strong individuals to join in our efforts because they are really what's going to make a determination as to whether we succeed or whether we fail. So it doesn't mean you have to select a career in public service, but spend some time. Go out in your neighborhoods and volunteer and do things in your own neighborhood. It doesn't mean you have to come to Washington and join the federal government. But whatever you can do in your own communities and your own neighborhoods to be able to add value, to give something back, I think is just incredibly important and, in my opinion, incredibly rewarding.
We've reached the end of our time, and that'll have to be our last question. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Dave, and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, if I could, I'd just like to get in a plug, if I may. As you know, we're in the process of hiring a lot of people into this organization, and we're looking for qualified people. And if I could just put in a plug for www.cbp.gov to go on our website and get an understanding and appreciation for what we do. And if you're interested in joining this organization, we'd be very, very pleased to have you.
Well, that's great. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. My co-host has been Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security at IBM. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving the government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm John Kamensky. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.